Hey, just came over from the warehouse, our youth room, and tonight we had the real honor of partnering with CPS and a radio station with Rich and somebody. Johnny and Rich? John Jay and Rich? So I can tell who listens to secular radio right there. And fries and some other business people. And I think giving a Christmas, a particular customized Christmas gift to like 200 CPS kids. So there's 200 kids over there right now, and they're getting some food, and they're getting a gift just for them. And and fries. Fries was a part of that too. So it's just the corporate people. And I was able to meet the new Charles, the new head of CPS. It has a new name now, but he was just almost, very tender-hearted about the whole thing. So it seems like he's a real good new guy for the job. That's the Child Protective Agency. You know, there's been a lot of problems. They were telling me in the room that the last couple of years, with emergency calls, the response time, or just the answering time, was an hour, about 60 minutes. So they would call. Now it's 60 seconds. So so people have really just jumped in there for the sake of the children of our state. And I told Charles and I told the other folks, listen, anything we can ever do to help and be a part of this. And so the radio guys were excited, and they're believing next year to be able to double the size of their support. And things they do. So it's just really cool what God's doing. Right here on campus, we're having a party right over there, and we celebrate those children's lives being touched. Amen? So my prayer is that, Jesus, let them feel so much love today in this moment, but not just by the gifts and the food, but let them feel your presence. Let them feel. It was funny, there was a lawyer there, and I guess he has a prominent advertisement, and so he says, you know, this is the lawyer, and the kids started singing his TV commercial song. Dun, 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 dun. It was pretty funny, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but for him, it's a good thing. Jesus is wonderful. He's the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. You know, I've been so blessed with a beautiful wife of 35 years, our four kids, now five grandkids, and you know, life is so good. And I'm so appreciative for everything God's given me. You know, sometimes it takes losing everything to appreciate anything. And really, I just appreciate everything God does. And he's just so kind. But just never forget, Jesus is the best thing that will ever happen to you. Knowing him, loving him, receiving his grace, knowing the forgiveness of your sins. It just doesn't get better than that. Amen. I'm going to be speaking tonight on Jesus, our Prince of Peace. I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah gave this prophetic word about who Jesus would be, what he would be like, what kinds of titles he would fulfill, and his nature and his personality. And this is one of the best Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, our Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son, God's only son, is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. In the Hebrew, the word wonder is it's a phenomenal word. It means something beyond the calibration of intellectual capacity, something beyond human expression and human experience, something that's just magnificent beyond words and beyond anything in this world. He's wonderful. He is filled with wonder. His name will be called Wonderful. His name will be called Counselor. Aren't you glad you have a counselor? How Jesus adopted that word into the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to send another helper. And he used the Greek equivalent to the word counselor, paraclete, which means a defense counselor, a comforter, an intercessor, a teacher, a helper, an advocate, a guide, a strengthener. He's our counselor, our mighty God. Everybody say mighty God. Our everlasting Father. Perfectly, the Bible says that Jesus was the perfect representation of God, the image of the Father. So if you want to know what the Father looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus embodied both by word and actions, attitude, who the Father is. And lastly, the Prince of Peace. What a great word. What a great description of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, of his increase, of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from this time forward, forever. The zeal of the Lord will do this. So he's our Prince of Peace. Say this out loud. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. So we're going to talk about what that functionally means, how dynamic his title means in its narrative and its actual experiential blessing into your world, into our lives. Of course, the Old Testament word for peace is the famous word shalom. And shalom is just, you know, that Jewish people use that as a greeting today. Shalom. It encompasses a wide spectrum of blessings. But here's the general tone of shalom. Shalom means wholeness. It means completeness. Tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It means health, success, security, soundness, happiness, friendliness, prosperity. And one of the simplest ways that I like to describe shalom is nothing missing, nothing lacking. May God fill every void. May God heal every hurt. May God supply every need. Shalom to you. May you be complete in what Christ has done. May you receive the complete grace he's died to purchase you. May you know God in such a way that every aspect of your life is surrounded and encompassed by the grace of a loving God. Shalom to you. Shalom. Peace. So he is the Prince of completeness. He's the Prince of wholeness. He's the Prince of nothing missing, nothing lacking. So that's who Jesus is. Say it again. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. He is. So for us, so here's the situation. And because when people read the Bible, they sometimes get confused because of in the Old Testament, there is an aggressive and almost hostile attitude toward sin and toward people that fall and toward Israel when she backslid and all kinds of things. And so you see God responding to people through the law, through their failure and through their own sinful conditions. But the Bible says all of the law, the law brought us to the point of not discovering God, but discovering we couldn't know God without some help. The law convicts everyone so grace can acquit everyone. The law shows us our sin so God can then say, I'm here with grace. My son has paid the price for you. So that every person might know by grace we're saved through faith. That none of our, it's not our own works, it's his work. So we have this collision of covenants. And the new covenant, John begins by saying, the law was awesome. The law came through Moses. The law showed us the moral zone, the moral ideals of God, the moral law of God. But grace and truth have come to Jesus Christ. So the law says do. Grace says done. The law says work. And grace says rest. It's done in Christ. So let's talk about some things. Just 2 points in my message tonight. First point, because of Jesus, our Prince of Peace, we now have peace with God. And this is such an important thing because there is inside of people a suspicion about God's intention over their life. And what happens when people kind of mix the teachings of grace with the teachings of the law, they tell us, oh yeah, we're all saved by grace, but we got to keep our grace by the law, by doing things. Now, it is my belief that grace not only gives me total forgiveness of my sins, it empowers me to overcome my sinful nature. So I'm a grace guy. Amen? Grace guy. Trusting his grace. He gives me daily grace for my needs and struggles. So the idea of having peace with God is simply this. God, through his Son, is no longer at war with mankind, but God has made peace with every person at the cross of Jesus Christ. And someone said, well, God, Pastor, God hates sin. I know that. That's why he took the sin of the world, past, present, and future. He wrapped it up. He put it on his Son on the cross. And then his wrath, he turned his back from the cross when his Son cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? So God, in that moment, dealt with the punishment. God did have wrath against sin. The wrath was put on our Savior, who became sin for us. Your Papa, your God, your Father is not at war with you. He's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you. He sent his Son for you, and he wants you to know he's made peace with you through his Son. I was reading, let me read this first here. Ephesians chapter 2. The whole chapter is so good. I'm going to have to speed forward, though. And you hath he made alive, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were all dead. At the cross, he took our place. When we accept and confess what Christ is, our Savior and Lord, we receive the victory of the cross. So it goes on to talk. Now I got to, just for time's sake, I'm going to move to verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision that is made by flesh of man. So Christ came as the seed of David, as the covenant of God through Abraham. He came for the Jewish people, but God has engrafted Gentiles, non-Jewish people, into his plan. That was always his plan, but God came through the covenant he had with Abraham. So people that weren't Jewish had no access to what God was doing until God included us. That at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, there we were, strangers from the covenants of promise, the seven or eight covenants of the Bible, having no hope without God in this world. So that's a picture of the world before Jesus came. So God came through the Jewish race, came through the seed of Abraham, came to rescue as the Messiah of Israel. And that covenant was exclusive to them until God says, I'm letting everybody in. So this is the best deal ever, okay? So we were without hope, though. We were strangers, as the Bible describes us. Then it goes on to say, but now, because we're in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So I'm going to stand right next to Abraham in heaven, and I won't be a lesser. I'll stand next to Moses, and I won't be a lesser. To King David, because I've been brought near. Everything that they had to strive and struggle, the covenants of God, the Edenic, the Adamic, the Noahic covenants, the Abrahamic covenants, the Joshua covenant, every covenant of God that God made, I'm included in them now, all wrapped up, of course, in a new covenant. I'm in the inside crowd because of Jesus. So are you, amen? So this is so important. Then it tells us how it happened. For he himself, Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is our peace. So Jesus is our peace. If you have Jesus, you have peace. If you have Jesus, you have peace with God and the peace of God. I'll talk about that distinction in a minute. But if you have Jesus, you have the Prince of Peace in your heart, ready to rule your life by peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now, here's the idea. So Christ came, and there was a separation between his messianic rule, his messianic assignment to the Jewish people. They were on the inside. We were on the outside. Jesus said, this isn't good enough. And he went over to the wall that kept Gentiles out of the covenants of God, and he kicked it down. And he grabbed the Gentile's hand, and he grabbed the Jew's hand, and he says, I'm making you one. I'm making you one. I'm making the covenant. Come on now. This is awesome news. Because we were on the outside, he kicked through the wall, he kicked down the barrier, he brought it, you are now on the inside with God. All the holy men and women of Scripture, all the patriarchs and matriarchs, all the great people, you are on the inside. God speaks to you, God works with you as much as he does anyone in all of history, because the wall of separation has been removed. And that wall, not only was that wall the ordinance, of course, Jesus came as the only sinless person fulfilling Mosaic law. No one else could. But then when he fulfilled it, he abolished the necessity of its fulfillment in order to have a relationship with God. Y'all with me? God does not say to you now, if you do these five things, you can go to heaven. Come to early morning prayer. Give your tithes. I'm for all those things, by the way. Love people. God, he no longer gives us the ordinances, the 565 rabbinic laws that make up the Jewish traditions. Okay, so he's broken it down, thus making peace, verse 16, that he might reconcile them both to God, in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to death, the enmity, the enemy, the hostility, the hopeless condition of being unable to access God because we were without covenant, and number two, we were without holiness. Here's Jesus. Listen, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, "You're not holy." They weren't. They tried to reach God. They tried to please God by their own efforts. And then he came to the Gentiles and said, you're not in covenant. They weren't. And he said, don't worry, I'm taking care of both those problems. I'm going to bring the outsiders in, and I'm going to have the insiders recognize they weren't doing nothing anyways. They weren't accomplishing through their religious efforts. No matter how disciplined you are, no matter how moral you view yourself, there's none righteous, no, not one. Okay. Now therefore, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you. Everybody shout peace. He preached peace to you who were afar off and to those that were near. So he's talking both about the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And I believe also a prophetic word about those, you know, prophesying into our generation. For through him, we both have access by this one Spirit to the Father. Now, this whole chapter concludes with this thought. Now, therefore, verse 19, you are no longer strangers. No longer foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints. And then even to help us really get it, he says, and members of the household of God. We're the sons and daughters of God. We have peace with God. God's not mad at you. God was mad at sin. He took sin, put it on his son, removed sin. No one goes to hell because of sin. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible says this. The way to heaven is to believe. Go preach the gospel. He that believeth will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned. Right now, the only question that matters is what you believe about God. So if you believe that Jesus is Lord, heaven is your home, salvation is yours. Amen. There's not a sin big enough to conquer the grace Christ died to give you and to keep you out of the place he's reserved for you in heaven. Just not going to happen. Okay, so we have peace with God. Everybody say, I have peace with God. So I'm going to have fun with this on Sunday because I'm going to talk about grumpy Jesus and happy Jesus. I grew up in the environment that even when we talked about, oh, God loves you, it would be with the preacher making faces. God loves you, even though you're filthy, rotten, wretched sinners. There was almost always this dichotomous argument trying to somehow balance out God's love with the fearful threats of the law or whatever. But I believe that if you walked with Jesus, for one day you'd hear him laugh many times and you'd see him smiling all the time until you had to deal with religious people. Demons and religious people, he gets real serious. I believe there was a constant smile on his face because he was love personified. And love cannot help but give voice to joy. Romans 5:1. Therefore then, of course the whole book of Romans is awesome too, having been justified by grace, the word justified is an accounting word, a legal word in the Greek. And it means to, when you justify something, you make a debt, you pay it. So you even out an account. You solve a debit and you make it now even or abundance. And a simple way of looking at justification is just this idea, just as if I've never sinned. Justification comes through the gift of righteousness. So it means this. When God looks at you, he does not see the long list of your sins. If you're a Christian, he sees you enveloped in the robe of the righteousness of his son, Jesus. That's the way he sees you. Now, the struggle we have in this lifetime is to see ourselves the same way he sees us. Man, if we can see that. Whew. Having been justified by faith. So Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith is believing God's word. Amen. So salvation comes. By grace we are saved through faith. And that faith, not of ourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the first verses, earlier verses in Ephesians 2. So we're justified by faith. Because of that, we have peace with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's not mad at you. Your wife might be, your boyfriend might be, your boss might be. Your mama might be, but you're God. We have peace with God. Someone shout, I have peace with God. Okay? So this is so essential. I was reading a few years ago the story of Gideon, how God, you know, so beautifully transitioned him, processed him, prepared him, equipped him to be a deliverer. And Gideon made an altar, and one of the names he gave the altar a name. It was labeled Yahweh Shalom, the Lord my peace. One of the compound names of God in the Old Testament. And so I just had this thought. Well, it's so neat that God, you made your peace with Gideon there. And the Lord just interrupted my thought process and said this to me. He said, son, I was never mad at Gideon. That's not where I made my peace with him. That's where he made his peace with me. Salvation is not where you convince an angry God to receive you. Salvation comes into your life when you finally realize he's not at war with you. He's not at war with you. Comfort my people. Speak comfortably to her. Tell her her warfare is ended. Isaiah 40 begins with that verse. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives me peace with God. I'm living in, so that means, but please get this, God's relationship with you isn't so fragile that one bad day in your life blows it. Y'all with me? One bad thing. And I can go so long doing so good until someone almost runs me off the road and suddenly I backslide. Have evil thoughts. If I'm not careful, I'll say a word I'd be embarrassed to say. Well, I guess I say it here all the time. Yeah, I'm an open cusser. And thinking, man, where'd that come from? And so my relationship with God is not so, it's not so fragile. Y'all with me? Man, listen, I've been in church services that every service, there was an altar call for people that had sinned. You need to get right with God. Oh, people, man, I need to get, God's right with you. You can't live that way and be happy. You can't live tormented by the thought of possible failure. See, grace creates inside of you a confidence that he loves you so much, you can't mess it up. In fact, the term falling from grace comes from the Bible. It comes from Galatians. And you fall from grace not when you sin, but the Bible says we fall from grace when we try to appease God and please God by works instead of by faith. You've fallen from grace. When you're trying to do things, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more than he does right now. There's nothing you can do good. There's nothing you can do bad. Ooh. Okay. So say this out loud. I have peace with God. Say this out loud. I have peace with God. Say, God's not mad at me. But God really loves me. He accepts me. He approves of me because of my King, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. I give God a shout of praise. That's the truth about. Okay, second point of my 2-point sermon. Because of Jesus, our Prince of Peace, we not only have peace with God, we have the peace of God. Now, there are lots of people that through Christ have received salvation and they're at peace with God, but they're not living with the peace of God governing their emotions. So let's talk about that. So Jesus said in John 14, one of the greatest verses about peace in the Bible, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the God-man, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God says, I'm giving you my peace. My peace I give you. The moment you accepted Christ, a part of the package deal was his peace jumped into you. The Bible says, but we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. It's in you. Peace is in you. Our then obligation, our journey is to figure out how to use it and live by it. My peace, I give to you. It's nothing like the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So two great words. Don't let stresses, anxieties, pressures, worries interfere with your peace. Don't let anything make you afraid. Now in the world, Jesus said, in the world, peace is what happens when a war is ended, when stresses are over, when agitation is gone, when pressures have ended. So when things stop, we finally come to peace. But in the kingdom, We have peace even when there's wars and storms and pressures. And so our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances. It's only dependent on our Savior who gave us peace. I have the peace of Jesus because I have the person of Jesus inside of my heart. Amen? So because you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. So the Greek word for peace is Irene. If your name is Irene, it's a derivative of the Greek word Irene. Irene is connected to shalom. It means the same kinds of things, a state of rest, quietness, calmness, and absence of strife, tranquility. Now, it has a deeper function and meaning. It means this, the rule of order in the place of chaos. A calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct yourself peacefully, even in the midst of circumstances that would normally be very nerve-wracking, traumatic, or upsetting. The rule of order in the place of chaos. So what does that mean? The peace inside of me is more powerful than the storm around me. I have the peace of Jesus. He was taking a nap. They woke him up. He wiped off his eyes, looked out the bow of that ship, and spoke to the wind and waves. He said to the waves, "Peace!" And they calmed down. He had so much peace, he could calm anything down. Jesus said, "Boys, when you're going about preaching, the moment you walk into a house, I just want you to say, no matter what they've been, they may have been fighting all day, just say over the house, peace." And the peace that I have is so powerful. You watch it this Christmas time if you have to deal with some unruly relatives. Just be so filled with peace. The moment you sit down at the table, the argument stops. You don't have to. The strife leaves because you're carrying a ruling power called peace. When Paul described the armor, the full armor of God, one of the cool things he did, he likened it into a Roman soldier, an infantry soldier in the Roman army. And he says, put on your peace. Your peace is the gospel of peace. Your shoes are the gospel of peace. And so a Roman soldier's shoes were amazing. At the bottom of them, there were spikes. And so when a Roman soldier, so he's fighting, because they were so skilled at fighting, here's what they found out. You can win any battle that you don't fall down in. And so the Roman soldier, when he's fighting an enemy, he would jam his foot into the ground and the spikes would secure him so he could take a blow but not be knocked down. And then at the point of his shoes, these Roman soldier shoes were two spikes sticking out, almost 2 inches. And so not only would the Roman soldiers, would his shoes keep him from falling down, he would lift up the other foot and he would hurl it forward. Peace was not only a defense, it was an offense. It was a weapon. And he would jab, it would be like a 2-inch knife hitting someone in their leg or whatever they hit him. So Paul said, peace is your weapon in times of conflict. Don't sit there and wait for things to get better before you feel better. Take out your peace, stomp your feet down, tell that storm I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to move me. I'm not going to be anxious today. I'm not going to be fearful. Amen. I hate to talk about current events, but I couldn't stop but laughing today when a bunch of the movie studios where they had a movie coming out Christmas Day. What's the name of that movie? The Interview. And so it's a funny spoof about killing the president of North Korea. So that little fat dictator heard about it. And so he jumped in there and he had people get into Sony and he caused all kinds of computer havoc and he stole their files. And then today they said, if you play that movie, we're gonna terrorize. So our great champions in Hollywood, they pulled the movie out because of a little fat dictator. You know what, man? You listen, this world is crazy. And you can't let things and people terrorize you. You can't. He said, my peace will keep you from being terrorized. Amen. My peace is a weapon. My peace is a ruling power that brings order into chaos. My peace has the power to overcome the storms I'm facing. The same idea in chapter 16 of John. Almost done. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. If I got Jesus, I have peace. So Jesus said, in me, just by the graces and by the awesome attributes that I will bring peace to your world. And he said this, in the world, the cosmos, the current arrangement of things as they are in this world, you will have tribulation, thipless, pressure, stress. But be happy and rejoice. I've overcome the world. Romans 14 says like this, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. If it was, I'd have a little cup here tonight called Holy Juice. And I'd have a little cracker called Holy Cracker. And I say, everybody eat your cup, eat your drink, drink your drink and eat your cracker so you'll be holy. But the kingdom of God, the rule of God is these things, righteousness, right believing, right speaking, righteousness, peace. Wherever righteousness comes, it brings the ruling power of peace. Wherever peace is present, it brings the eruption of joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's in you. Okay. So if all those things are true, my last point is this, my last idea about this. So how can I guard against, how do I keep reacquainting and reintroducing the power of that peace into my world? So here's what the Bible says, a couple of verses, Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Now, how many of you know, if that was the end of that verse, that's one of those impossible things. Well, it's easy for you to say, but you don't live with the people I live with, or be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let all your requests be made known to God. One translation says like this, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Someone was talking to me the other day, because, you know, one of the things that we do, Dr. Crane knows this, and Pastor Bonnie and staff, Pastor Mark, that one of the things you do as a leader, that God has to trust you with secrets. When people have to feel like they can confide in you. And so, you know, I just don't tell things. I'm really good at keeping confidences. But someone said, Pastor, when people just, you know, when someone's dying, when they have a dying child, I've been praying this week for a dying baby, or someone's, or how do you handle it all? I don't handle it. Are you kidding me? My name's not Jesus. People tell me their problems. I either in that moment pray with them, or I race home and say, okay, Jesus, here you go. Thank you. And I walk away with peace. Amen. What's going to happen? It's in the hands of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Okay. And then, verse 7, because you've prayed and given to God your burdens, your requests, and the peace of God. Ooh. Peace of God, what surpasses all understanding. Don't ever let your mind talk your spirit out of peace. Don't ever let reason replace revelation. The peace of God. So what does that mean? That means you can be going through something that's very difficult, that you would have normal reason to be anxious, fearful about. But God gives you an unreasonable peace because it's not based on your circumstances, it's based on your Savior. Jesus is my peace. He gives me peace. When anything comes to steal my peace, when I pray about it, peace is the normal state of emotional activity in the heart. Peace is normal in the kingdom. When we're not at peace, we're in an abnormal condition. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Great word. Phoroio is the Hebrew, Greek word. Phoroio means this: a military sentry standing guard, protecting against the enemy. So it literally, here's the picture. When you pray about it, peace doesn't just come and say, oh, it's going to be okay, Mikey. Peace comes with a bunch of heavenly bazookas, machine guns, and starts walking back and forth in front of your heart, protecting you. Isn't that awesome? You've got the mighty. See, we're all going to be, if peace was a person, he'd be about 8 foot tall. He weighed about 600 pounds. He'd be nothing but pure muscle. Hi, I'm peace. You're not how I pictured you. I picture you like a 12-year-old little girl just combing your hair and... My name is Peace, and I'm one bad guy. Peace is powerful. Its results are wonderful. But its mission is to deliver you. And there's nothing it can't defeat once you place it in its governing, ruling, sentry position. Last scripture. Let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God. So I've got peace with God, but I've also got the peace of God. Rule in your hearts, to the which you're called in one body. God's will is for peace to rule. Brabio is the Greek word for rule. It means an umpire who calls the shots and makes decisions, the referee. We were watching one of our grandson's Little League games last weekend, one of my children was talking at the referee, the umpire. Something about him being blind, and I don't know. So peace says, I will decide who gets in. And if you don't, it goes on to say, whatever is pure and just and virtuous, praiseworthy. Think, if it doesn't pass the litmus test of a heavenly inventory, then it doesn't. Peace says, nope, you can't come in. Because peace is ruling what you're receiving. Let peace. Here's a couple ways of looking at that. Let the peace of God call the shots in your life. Let the peace of God be an umpire in your life and actions. Let the peace of God act as a referee in your emotions and in your decisions. Everybody say, I have the peace of God. So let's just do this in closing. So the Bible says, the moment you came to Christ, you received the outcome of the cross, which was, he's broken down the wall. He is our peace, our Prince of Peace. We have peace with God. And in this world then, we can employ at any season, at any point, at any moment, we can activate the sentinel. We can activate the umpire, the referee. We can activate the force of peace to rule over our emotions. And no matter, the devil tries to make people feel guilty about being peaceful when things are going chaotic. Well, you should be feeling bad because, no, I've given it to Jesus. I prayed about it. So let's do that right now. If there's anything in your life, anything that you're facing, anything that you're carrying, anything that's trying to interrupt your peace, anything that's and anxiety, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Anything that's a fear, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Whatever's trying to trouble you or make you afraid, let's just get ready to give those things to God in prayer. Really surrender them, really give them to God. Do this with me just as a simple exercise. I know it's simple. Just put your hands out in front of you like a cup, like this. And just picture now some stuff you got. Okay? Whatever it is. Whatever it is that's bothering you is something you need to pray about. Simple as that. We're going to gather those things. We're going to pray about them. And, you know, I was dealing with a couple hurting pastors this week. And, I would have done anything. There was nothing I could do to help them except to pray. Put him in the arms of Jesus. So whatever your problems are, whatever your needs are, whatever your burdens are, place them right there. And here's what the Bible says in both the book of Psalms and in the book of Peter. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So Jesus, we thank you for taking our burdens. You are our Prince of Peace. Right now, we just lift our cares to you. So just lift your hands, would you? And just picture your cares being literally just elevated. Right now, just let it go. I put my cares in your hands, Jesus. Father, I commit everything to you. I trust you, my family, the things I'm having to live with and work with and deal with. God, I put it in your hands, the need I have. Financial burden, that physical problem, I put it in your hands. I trust you with children, spouses, anyone or anything else. We just trust you, Lord. And we give you our needs in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Now, put your hands back out in front of you. Here's the payoff. I give him my problems. He gives me his peace. So I just want you to receive peace right now. Just say, I'm receiving peace. I'm awakening peace. The peace of God is ruling in me. Thank you, God, for your peace. Thank you, God. For your perfect peace, your healing peace. Thank you, God, for peace. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship. Would you stand on your feet with me tonight? Thank you for letting me talk at you for a little while. And in this next week, anything that tries to surprise you or escalate in your world or resurface, this process, if you have to pray 50 times a day, pray 50 times a day. Because every time you pray, there will be this exchange. Your burdens for his peace. Amen. Don't carry things you don't have to carry. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Lord, we love you. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, we celebrate you. Thank you for giving us your peace. Come on, would you just love on him for a minute? Pastor Mark, how that song goes, I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me.
And I love you.
Come on, tell him.
Jesus, I love you.
Oh, how sweet to say that.
Yes, I
people being healed tonight and delivered from sleep. attacks, from any other kind of anxiety that has a crippling effect or a fearful presence. God's delivering people from fear, from anxieties. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Come down the altar. You're going to be free because peace in Jesus had the power to rule over the storms the enemy tries to throw against you. God, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your rest. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Come on, keep loving you for a minute. I love you. Yes, I love you. Someone here has got a bad report in the last 2 weeks from a medical report that was negative about something you thought was going to be the other way. And I'm believing for a Christmas miracle for you. If that's you, wave your hand at me. I mean, the Lord's talking to me about a miracle for you tonight. So come down, let us pray for you. Someone else had some bad news come from somewhere in the Midwest. So a family situation has got very problematic, and I just feel like God is helping that situation tonight. While you were in here, something was happening out there. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your help. Thank you, God, for your healing power. In the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. I speak peace to you, precious one, now in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone here, you've been praying for a family member and they've been out of contact with anybody in the family for 2.5 years. So people aren't even sure where or what's happening with them, and everyone's concerned about that. It's been a couple years now. And I want to pray for you about that person, because the Lord showed me they're alive. He's going to return them to the family. Who is that? It's like 2.5 years. A family person's kind of disappeared. People don't know where they're at and what's happening with them. Come down and let me pray for you if that's you. Notify me. Wave your hand at me, whatever. I'm going to get a miracle report about that family person. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep telling him I love you. Says he's turning things around, and there are miracles going to happen in your family this next season. And the Lord says, you've cried so much about things that went wrong. You have a tender heart, and you have a really sensitive nature. I heard the Lord say, I'm going to show you why I made you the way you are. I'm going to show you why you feel things deeply and why you care for things powerfully. I'm going to make you a healing agent. I'm going to make you an angel of mercy. I'm going to make you someone who heals brokenness in others. Let me heal the brokenness in you. Watch what I'm going to do in your life these next 2 years. And watch what I build inside of you as a ministry of hope and healing to others. Thank you, Leah Hanukkah. Keep praying for her. Thank you, Jesus, for touching her. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep praying, everybody. If you got to slip out, you can. But I just feel like the Lord's moving here wonderfully. Thank you, Jesus. God's healing hepatitis C. Hepatitis C. Let us curse it for your body. Who is that? Hepatitis C. Where is you? Hepatitis. Wave your hand at me. You got hepatitis. know that they're here is a place. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a miracle for my brother in Jesus' name. He's already a miracle man. He's already, God, you prevented the enemy's agenda. You kept him alive. He rebuked death. He rebuked it 3 times. God, I declare over his life, you're healing him in this season to make him strong for the rest of his life. When he's going to see the restoration of things in his family that were taken. And so, Father, I curse this disease. I command to leave his body in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare, God, a new day dawns in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I pray for you, buddy? What was your name again?
Dasmin.
God, I thank you for Dasmin. You keep out here for a minute. God's called you to be a leader. God's anointed you with a special gift. People look up to you. People recognize things about you. People admire you. They admire your achievements, your discipline, your athletic skills, your intellectual skills. And you've not pressed, you've not forced your way. You've not sought to be seen, but God says, I'm going to use you as a leader in your generation, young man. I'm going to make you a prominent voice and a pillar. I'm making you strong as a young man. And while others are still running around doing things, looking for happiness and looking for meaning, I'm going to show you your meaning. And you're going to find in me a strength, a purpose, and a desire. And just like you've learned to attain goals, to achieve things, your whole life I'm going to give you big goals. Because I've given you a big faith and a big vision. Thank you, God, for your hand upon this young man. I'm healing you, the Lord says, of the pain of others. I'm taking out of you the failure of another man. And I won't let you carry. And I won't let you be burdened by other people's lives. But God says you're going to be a shining example of a kingdom leader. A mountain taker, a history maker in your generation. I've anointed you for it. I'm watching over you. I'm protecting you. I'm directing you. I'm guiding you, says the Lord. God bless this young man. Thank you for your hand upon his life. Whew, some good stuff there in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. We love you, Lord. I love you.
Yes, I love you.
You have a kidney disease or a kidney, you have a malfunctioning kidney. That way of stings. You have a problem with your kidney. Who is that? I think there's an issue with both kidneys, but one kidney is way not functioning normal. Wave your hand at me. If you have a kidney, wave your hand at me. I know that God's about to touch someone with a kidney issue. In fact, I think it's a genetic thing with the problem in the family with kidney disease. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for touching. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Stretch your hands toward our brother and sister. God, we just declare miracles to these families. In the mighty name, you are a miracle God. You're a miracle worker. Nothing too hard for you. You've made us and you can fix us. So we speak your word and we send your grace to these needs now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let this baby be a miracle baby. Touch your kidneys in the name of Jesus. Touch dad in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. I heard a great word over you. I heard the word opportunity. God is opening up the door of opportunity. You've been through just such an intense season. And you've handled some really bad news with a good grace, with the dignity, but I heard the Lord say, the door of opportunity is opening. Things are shifting and changing in your world. And you're gonna see things in this next season. You've been praying for the last 3 years. God, thank you for doing mighty things. In Jesus' name. Who are you praying for?
I have kidney problems.
Okay, you have kidney problems. So the moment I touch you, I believe that Jesus Christ died to heal you. And I believe the Holy Spirit told me about that thing tonight so you could be healed. Thank you for coming forward. Just stretch your hands toward her, sister. Father, the moment I touch her, heal her kidneys. Let disease go. Let dysfunction leave. Let perfect function return. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you're a miracle God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, God, for touching. Wait, can you keep praying for me? Thank you. Yeah. God, thank you. We're giving it. Give her a kidney transplant, Jesus, right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Someone here, you've had there's some kind of infection either in your, I think it's somewhere in your foot. I don't know if it was an injury or something that didn't heal right, but there's something wrong with your foot, and it's gone from a minor thing to a more serious thing, and God wants to heal it. So whatever's wrong in that in your foot. And so who's been having trouble with your foot? Some kind of thing happened there, and it's grown into a real problem. Thank you, Jesus. I'll come out and find you. Foot. So I feel like there was an injury. The injury didn't heal right. Okay, thank you, Lord. Yeah. What happened? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for healing that. Oh, Jesus. I heard the Lord say, a kept back blessing is being given to you. Something was intentionally, the devil tried to steal a blessing, tried to delay it, but the kept back blessing, oh man, it's going to be a big one too. A phenomenal blessing of grace. Thank you, God. Okay, so we're going to pray for mom so they don't take her feet. That's what I feel like. We curse that disease from taking any more limbs. We command it to stop. We not only command it to stop, we command it to leave. In the name of Jesus, we speak out a miracle to mom right now in Jesus' name. I forgot to invite anybody down to the front that needed prayer. It's too late. If you need prayer, hold your hands up to Jesus. Jesus, help us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hey, would you grab someone's hand next to you tonight? Thank you. Just join hands together. I just want us to take a moment to pray for each other before we go. Even if you know the person next to you, you probably don't know every struggle they're in. Everybody's got something they're facing. God's about to do a big miracle in your home, big miracle in your house, big miracle in your family. God says, because you've broken through, the whole family is going to be blessed and benefited. A long-standing generation of curse has been broken, and blessings are on the way, many of them. God's going to use you, young man, in a powerful way. He's anointed you in a significant way for supernatural favor. The devil's tried, I see like 4 times, stripped away things. Twice was people, twice was business deals. And the Lord says, every time the devil stole favor from you, I determined to give you more. I'm going to give you more favor than you've ever known. And at this season, when people don't believe in you like they did back then, they're not cheering like they were. Oh, God says, watch what I'm about to do, because you're the underdog that's going to make a great historical comeback. And I'm going to bless you in such a way that people shake their heads and say, how did that happen to him? You are that guy. You are that Joseph. Forgotten, forsaken, neglected, and suddenly promoted. You are that David. Unknown. until I called him forth. I'm calling you forth. I'm calling your name. I'm loosening your path. I'm binding your enemies. And I'm pouring out your resource. I'm crowning you with favor, says the Lord. Thank you, God. Woo. Hey, pray. Are you praying for each other? I meant for you to pray for each other. Keep praying for each other for just a moment longer. God, thank you for healing. Thank you for helping, for strengthening, for encouraging. Wherever they need you, be God. Help them, strengthen them, pour into them. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. The mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now look at him and say, peace to you in Jesus' name. I love you. You're an awesome church. Bring someone with you on Sunday. We're going to have a fun, joyful day here celebrating our Jesus. God bless you.